The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. Talk that matters. Germ Warfare and Jeremy Nell on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Germ Warfare at TNTRadio.live. Germ Warfare at TNTRadio.live. Send me an email. Send me questions, send me feedback about this show or any other show. Thank you to those who have been sending me emails like this one from Oz. Great show. You, Rick Munn, and Patrick Henningsen are by far the best on TNT. Thank you. Thank you for that, Oz. It says that you grew up in Asia, North Africa, Eastern and Western Europe. That is some serious globe-trotting. I got another email here from Shane, who is in New Zealand. Great to hear from you, Shane. Thank you for your feedback. Glad that you're enjoying TNT. Lydia she absolutely loved listening to Pepe Escobar. Calls him the rock and roll geopolitical analyst. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good description, Lydia. By the way, if you do send me an email, let me know from where in the world you are. It's always nice to know that, it's nice to know where people are listening from. This is a global station, and sometimes I can get caught up in thinking that it's domesticated. You know, I'm speaking here from the bottom tip of the African continent, and I forget that you know, people in Thailand are listening, or people in Australia. Somebody by the name of Howard emailed me. Thank you, Howard. Really, really enjoyed your email. It's a bit long. I'm not going to read it, but I'm glad that you enjoyed my conversation with Laura Logan. Please download the TNT app. It is in the Google and Apple stores. This allows you to listen to my show or any other show after the fact. And I know that a lot of people are downloading it because we can, well, by all the emails that I'm getting and messages I'm getting, I can tell that people are certainly using the app. So anyway, let me get to my guest. My name is Germ. This is Germ Warfare on TNT Radio.
Calling out the big wigs.
The government works for us, not the other way around.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Todd Hayen, thank you for again joining me in the trenches.
It's fantastic, thank you. Looking forward to the talk.
Yeah, you were recently described as controlled opposition, and if that were true, Todd, then I'm a neo-Nazi, so welcome.
Right, I know, it's a good club to be in. I'm actually quite flattered that anybody would think I was that important. Yeah,
don't you get so frustrated by this ridiculous labeling that goes on?
Yes, I do. I think I'm disappointed, and it's not really, I mean, I think it's more my fault that I do, because I'm a bit of an idealist, and I see our freedom fighters, you know, as being a group of very intelligent and you know, thoughtful, critical thinking people. And you know, there is a fringe to that. There are always, in every group of people, there are people that are extreme. There are people that are not quite together. And I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm criticizing people, because I'm not. I'm just saying, in general, we can't have this idealistic, you know, take on everything. And I find it frustrating when there are groups of people that you just kind of like go, what, you know. No, this is serious. This is something that we have to all be on the same page with. And that's not a good place to be on my part.
Nick Hudson was on my show last week, and we were chatting a little bit about that sort of black pull, white pull concept. And that ultra paranoia, ultra cynicism falls into that black pull metaphor, where people have got so caught up in their world of ideology, as you just pointed out, and paranoia, that Nobody can be trusted. Everybody is controlled. Everybody is evil. Nothing is as you see it. Everything is 100% deception. And the only person you can trust perhaps is yourself and maybe your cat. And even then your cat is always dodgy.
Yeah. Right. Well, cat, yes. No, that's true. And I think that too is part of human nature. We're kind of in this, we're in this situation where there really are no boundaries. Psychologically, it's like anything goes. And we've always had a kind of a stable stake in the ground as far as humans and groups. You know, we had in primal times, we had the tribe, we had the leader of the tribe, we had, you know, everybody had their place. They, you know, within reason, there was some kind of stability, some kind of consistency and status quo. And in this situation, there really isn't. Other than on the other side of it, I mean the narrative, the conformist, the compliance, that side of it, that's the whole kind of the whole point of it, is to consolidate and unify everybody into one thought, you know, one science, one governing body, everything is consolidated in one. On this side of it, The whole point is to be free and to be able to express. And so you have everybody doing that. And you get those groups of people that are, as you say, they're on the far end of the spectrum. They do see everything as negative and everything as evil. And it's one of the problems of this kind of thing happening.
I was trying to make a segue into a great article that you wrote about anger. And I have found that a lot of these people that we are talking about, although they are, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt and say well-meaning. Yes, there is a sense of there is a sense of anger that just seems a little bit excessive.
Mm-hmm. So which side of this are you saying about the anger?
Both. Ironically, it's both sides of the spectrum.
It is. I think I wrote more about the, I refrain from using my labels, the sheep side, because I've gotten a lot of flack for that. But it's just easy. They're little words. You know, it's easier to describe the whole thing with one word. Anytime a very strong belief is challenged, and people can't go with the flow. They can't be flexible. They can't look at things from both sides or from all sides. You're going to again have that extreme of people that are so terrified and threatened by any different way of thinking. And they express that usually with anger. And this all goes way, way back into their own personal psychology. You know, why people are like this, why you have certain types of personalities that say are drawn to a cult. Because all this is very cult-like. I mean, you could take all this apart and look at it through a cult lens on both sides of it. I don't think, from my experience, I haven't run into as many people on our side of the fence that are cult-like. I think there are some out there, obviously, but I haven't run into that many of them that are like that. I think most people on our side of this are either very foundational in what they believe, and because I mean, you know, as this sounds, I do think that we, and it's going to sound very arrogant to say this, but I do think that we know the truth. I think this side of it is founded and based on truth. It's based on fact. It's based on evidence, science, you know, all the things you want to call it. The other side is not. And there's a looseness to that is not stable. It can fly around. Now, on this side of it, if you get into the deeper and deeper and deeper issues, what people believe, if you go all the way down the rabbit hole, you're going to find that as well, because that's not based on truth necessarily either. And like we were talking the last time we talked, you know, I'm at a point where I'll believe anything because I'll go all the way down that hole and go, oh, okay. I don't like to put anybody down. I don't like to sit here and say, it, you know, like that's going on in our side of things. You know, this backstabbing and saying, oh, so-and-so doesn't have it right. And he's an idiot. And, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm one to say, well, who knows? I mean, you know, we could all be dealing with lizard people. I don't know. I wouldn't surprise me. I don't think. I mean, I'd probably go crazy, but I don't think it would surprise me.
But isn't there a danger also to that kind of open-mindedness? I'm trying to play devil's advocate because let me give an example, Todd. My wife and I watched a movie last night called Bliss. I think it's on Amazon. And it stars Owen Wilson and I think Selma Hayek and some others. And it's basically about life being a simulation, that nothing is real and they move between realities. And it's an utterly garbage movie because it leaves you completely confused. It makes no sense. And it plays into the idea that too much open-mindedness can become almost like you're on drugs, and your sense of reality just becomes a complete fairy tale.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, there's a lot in metaphysical talk and a lot of the areas that I work in spirituality, in quantum physics and all of that says that we create our own reality. I'm sure you've heard that one before, but it's very literal. It's like you're not real. Nothing around me is real, that my consciousness is creating the material reality. You can get into that and study it and really see evidence. You can see all kinds of things that are detailed about that, but to actually apply it to your life, you know, can make you crazy because there's nothing. That's just like you're saying. It's like I could create fairies. I could create demons that live in the closet. I could create anything. And there's a stability to going with the common denominator of material reality or life in general that we hold on to. You know, this is supposed to be like this. It can't be anything else. And I think if you open it up so it can be anything, I think you're right. I mean, I think that you can have issues with that. Now, there are truths even in that paradigm. There are truths. There's, you know, what we would call God. There is source, which is the same thing. There are foundational truths like love and, you know, on. But it's difficult to have those kinds of things that are very, very difficult to define as being a stake in the ground, you know, as a consistency, because they're not material things. And we tend to want to have a material world that we can depend on. And like people act a particular way within a certain context. There's a, you know, there's not lizard people, for example. I mean, the lizard idea is such a metaphor for this archetypal, you know, that's foreign. You know, the whole alien thing is that it's foreign. It's not human. That's an archetypal, collective archetype that we all possess, this fascination with this idea that a person is not really a person. And whether that can literally happen or not, like in the material form, you know, here I go again. I mean, it's like, maybe.
I think why I'm asking this is because I'm finding myself, and I'm going to use your own analogy of two competing worlds. It was a really great article and it was a great conversation. And I'm trying to wrap my head around about this postmodern idea of reality is no longer reality and you know, nothing is real, facts don't matter. And then I'm thinking, but I also don't believe a lot of what I was told anymore. So what is real? But Todd, before I let you comment on that, I'm quickly going to go to an ad break and I'll be back with you right now.
You should hear what Mike Ryan's talking about.
In California, the AB 2098 bill sealed the fate of Californians. That's when it says doctors are not allowed to basically take care of their patients unless it's sanctioned by the state, the state being the state of California. There's no chance of discourse with doctors or providers on the pandemic. The risks are too high to engage in discussion. Under the new rubric, the doctor no longer serves the best interest of the patient, but acts as an agent of the state policy. When governments start practicing medicine, the story never ends well. And you look at Australia, Victoria, New South, Queensland, the whole lot of the country. If you come out, if you're a doctor or a medical professional, and you act professional, then you're going to be jumped on, squashed, squished, and dissected into little bits by the government and its proxies, such as the TGA and ARPRA, and along with the other state governments who will do all they can to shut you up.
Mike Ryan on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Google and Facebook, they don't sell you anything. They sell you.
Facebook constantly manipulates their users. They do it by the things that they insert into the news feeds, and they do it by the types of hosts they allow their users to see.
It's what Google and Facebook are doing on a regular basis, by suppressing stories, by steering us towards other stories rather than the stories we're actually seeking. That's the real manipulation that's going on.
I was a design ethicist at Google, where I studied how do you ethically steer people's thoughts.
It will always favor one online music service over another and one candidate over another.
Google and Facebook has the power to undermine democracy without us knowing that democracy has been undermined.
There's what I call the creepy line, and the Google policy about a lot of these things is to get right up to the creepy line but not cross it.
Google crosses the creepy line every day.
Discover how society is manipulated by Google and Facebook. The creepy line at salemnow.com.
There's no dispute. The jabs are not safe or effective. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, Todd. Now back to my my competing realities dilemma. And it's something that I genuinely think about. I'm not just making it up for conversation. I've been wondering about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Repeat the question so I got it clear.
Okay. So I'm trying to fathom how influential this idea of postmodernism is, because I'm not a fan of it. I hate the idea that foundational reality no longer matters and our truth, my truth, dominates and everything is relative. And so everything is airy-fairy. You can float around and nothing is real. And yet at the same time, I've got this tug of war within myself about what is true from what I learned growing up, because a lot of it is not true. And I've only been discovering this in recent years. Does that make sense where I'm going with this?
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 It does. It's a big conversation. I could certainly talk about this for quite a while because it's been a kind of a foundation of my work before all of this happened. And I'm listening to your ads and thinking about your question and thinking again about these different worlds, that they're the majority of people, I would say the majority of people, would listen to your ads on this, about Google, about manipulation and whatever, and just think it's all complete nonsense in the sense, not the ad itself, but just the idea that Google is out to manipulate you or whatever. Now that's a very surface level of reality. That's not hard for us to see the truth behind, because in this material reality that we all kind of accept as being the reality, that does sit in it. It is part, I don't know if that's making any sense, but it's like you know it is a reality. It's not made up. In other words, it's not fabricated, because you can see it. You can go and look at it, and you can find it. The kinds of things that are not possibly that are things like there are caves throughout the United States with tens of thousands of abducted children that are being ready to be sold or whatever that. And, you know, I'm just paraphrasing stuff I've heard from QAnon, and no offense to anybody that are in QAnon, but QAnon has been asked again and again to show evidence of these things for average people to look at and like go, oh, gee, you know, you're right. And from what I understand, they haven't been able to do that. Now, it could be wrong, so hopefully you don't have a lot of QAnon listeners that are going to get upset about that, because I'd like to see it. You know, I was very much into looking into all of that at one point. It's too far down the rabbit hole for me. I'm not saying it's not true. It's just for me, just like the lizard idea, you know, David Icke's idea. But is that real? And if it isn't real, can we make it real by talking about it and by,
yes,
by becoming engaged in it? You know, I have people telling me all the time, why are you looking for trouble? Why are you looking for the dark side to all of this? Why can't you just live your life in world A, as my article talked about, and just forget about it? Why is it such a problem that something's going on over here that you're not privy to, or that's being deceivingly brought into underneath all of this? Why is that important? And that's where you get into, I've cited a couple of times this old Star Trek episode that I remember as a kid just really frustrating me. And it was from the pilot where the captain was Captain Pike, and they were on this planet where people could control their mind. I don't know if you're a Star Trek fan. This is from the old series.
No, not really.
Yeah. But anyway, he said they can control their prisoners' minds in order to study them and whatever. So they would put them in these situations, like they put him in this situation where he's on his farm as a kid, and he has a horse and it's beautiful, and he's having a picnic with this gorgeous woman that's with him. And she's like going, hey, this is great. Why are you fighting this? And he couldn't accept it. He was so angry that they were controlling him and creating this visual manifestation in front of him that wasn't real. Yet he could feel it, he could see it, he could make it anything he wanted, yet it wasn't acceptable to him. So you get into that paradox. It's like, what is real? You know, is the world really as evil as our side, as we go further down the rabbit hole, says it is? You know, are we being manipulated by everything? Are we actually prisoners, like Captain Pike was in the Star Trek episode, that we're being manipulated to a point where there's a facade, where our minds aren't yet being controlled, but eventually they could be? I mean, they're being controlled, but they're not being controlled the way it was in the TV show. Like, we're not seeing things necessarily that are not real, but that's common. I don't know if that's answering your question at all, but
it sort of is.
Yeah. If you get into the nitty gritty of it with the quantum idea, this idea that we create, that our consciousness creates the physical. See, you got to remember and keep this in mind, is that when we use the word reality, we're essentially referring to the material reality of the world. You know, that things, well, not on camera, but things that you feel, that you touch, I see you, you know, I have a computer screen in front of me, whatever, that's physical reality. There is another reality, or should be combined with that reality, that is not physical. This is where you get into things, the obvious things like feelings, love, you know, if you believe in God, a God, those are, or anything paranormal. All right, it's considered a non-physical reality, but science doesn't recognize it as reality because they're a materialist system. Science doesn't see anything as non-material. And if somebody claims something, then it's like, hey, I saw a ghost last night. You know, it's like, well, that's not material. The ghost isn't made up of particles, so therefore, we're not even going to consider it. It's in your head. So that, I think, is the crux of the issue that you're talking about. it's like, if we can create all of this, why don't we create aliens and lizard people and,
yeah,
and, you know, everybody's a pedophile or whatever it might be. Why don't we just, are we creating those things in our consciousness that appear to be material? And yeah, are material if you've created them, because if you can create material things, then you've created it. This is a really tough topic to talk about, because it unless you talk about it, doesn't really make a lot of sense. It's very hard to grok it. It's very hard to get it
no,
in
for
your
sure.
head. Yeah. But I think we are dealing okay. with that.
Todd, I'll be back with you after the news headlines.
Darren Metzer here with a look at your TNT headlines. Thousands of protesters surrounded UK's Parliament in London over the weekend, demanding the release of jailed WikiLeaks co-founder Julian Assange. A new poll out of the UK suggests Prime Minister Liz Truss could indeed be the country's most hated prime minister in history, a mere month after taking office. And Russian President Vladimir Putin has officially accused Ukraine of carrying out Saturday's attack on the Crimean Bridge.
For a complete list of shows and our schedule offered on TNT Radio, simply visit our website at tntradio.live. We serve up the latest live news and current affairs, presented by a host of credible and expert commentators who can separate fact from fiction, truth from propaganda, keeping you in the loop on TNT Radio.
I remember, Todd, when I was younger, you were talking now a moment ago, actually, about talking about stuff and making it reality. And when I was younger, my mom laughs about this quite often. My grandfather took me to the theater, and there was a moment that happened in the theater that, you know, it's just like a family story, but that we told over and over. And a few years ago, we were sitting in the lounge, and my father was retelling the story as if he took me, and he said, "I remember when I took you to the show."
Right.
And yeah, my mom found this the funniest thing, and so did I, because my father didn't take me, my grandfather did, but we had told the story so many times that he
right.
started believing that that was what happened, that he took me, uh-huh, and that now became the reality. That's quite scary.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah, that's coming at it from a little different angle, because you're dealing with memories. And memories, you know, there are people that say that there is no past or future, that everything, all time exists in one singular point. And time, as we see it linearly, is a human construct, that it's not really, now that can really twist your head around. But memories come into that. It's like, if you're remembering something in the current moment, you really can create anything. And it's because it's just a memory, wherever the memory is, who knows? There's a lot of debate around that, whether the memory is in your head or whether it's in a field that you have access to or whatnot. But that kind of phenomenon, that's pretty common, that people will have two different memories, or two different people will have different memories of the same thing. And it, there's no question in their mind. They don't sit there and go, "Oh, well, maybe you're right." You know, it's like they remember it the same way they remember anything. That's a good example of that. It's surprising to think, because I've had experiences like that. In fact, when I was writing this article in The Invaders, I had in my mind that the guy that played the main character in that TV series was a different person than it ended up being. And I had all these memories in my mind of this TV series and him doing things, this particular actor in the series, and they were memories. And then I looked it up and I saw that it was a completely different guy. And I'm going, "Wow, that's like weird." And then it went through, my memory went through and replaced that face with the other face, with the other guy. So I updated my memories, you know, with the other thing. But memory is a very interesting
thing. I get the point of short-term memory. It helps you obviously learn. I mean, if you touch a hot stove and
you forget
what it does. Okay, right. So we understand right. short-term, but what do you suppose is the purpose of long-term memory?
Oh, geez. The purpose in it?
Yeah, well, I think why?
Yeah, I think you can tie it into what we've been talking about. I think that humans, I don't know if animals do this, but humans certainly, they're story oriented. You know, their whole reality is based on a story about something. They don't, you know, like I can pick up this glass and there's a story behind it. I mean, even as simple as that, it's like I understand what it is, that it holds liquid, or it does this, or it looks like this, or whatever. And there's a story behind it. And I think memories are a big part of what we do to keep our world together, in order to keep our own reality making sense to us. That, I mean, you talk to somebody that is suffering from Alzheimer's, or yes, a family member that is, and you'll see the effect of not having memories, that it causes people to go into a very unrelatable place. Like you can't relate to them. And they can't relate. Obviously they can't relate to anything around them because they don't understand it anymore. It doesn't have a story behind it. And I think the to link it into what we're talking about, when you have this kind of open-ended way of looking at the world, you can create a story out of just about anything if it's complex enough. You know, you can look at information from all these different places and create a story that you know, Google is out to get us all, or you know, the Queen Elizabeth was actually a lizard person, or you know, you can create sorry, I keep going back to that. So maybe I'm going to make it real, you know, and I keep talking about it. It'll be real. I'll find a photograph. Hey, listen, and I'll go, oh my God,
you've seen Charles. Yeah, we've all seen Charles. That face, yeah, looks a little bit lizardy, doesn't it?
yes it does. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, are we creating this reality? Are all of us on this side of the fence who see the government as being corrupt and whatever? And I'm not saying making it up in our heads. I'm saying literally creating it. You know, literally creating it. And we are also, if you get, and this is where you go down this rabbit hole and can get very confused. You're also like, I'm the only, it's a solipsistic idea. I am the only one that exists. I'm creating you. I'm creating this story. I'm creating it for me. No one else exists. All right. Because I'm creating my reality, and all the human beings that I meet and see, you and everything else, I'm creating. You don't really exist. Now, you can make that more complicated, but it's harder, again, to grok it, is you also are an individual aspect of consciousness. You are a pinpoint of light with the one of my favorite analogies is a light bulb encased in a black paper around it with little holes punched in it, and it projects this image of little dots of light on the ceiling. Well, they all come from the same source. They're all unity consciousness. They're all the same, but they look as if they're individual on the ceiling, the little dots of light. So you can look at that as an analogy falls apart, of course, like they all do at some point, but you can look at that human beings are individual bits of light, dots of light from the same source. So this just twists your head up. And it's like, is it useful? Well, it's interesting, but it's not necessarily useful in living a life in this material.
No, you know, it's not world. Useful, but it also is. I mean, if I had a dream 9 years ago about something or another, and now I'm thinking back, I remember that time I went to that campsite, but I actually didn't. It was something that I dreamed. And right, now I right. think back and I can't fathom if I was there or not.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of people that believe.
Which is, by the way, yeah. which by the way is why I'm a fan of taking photographs.
Oh yeah? Yeah.
So I can go back and look.
If you have that, if you personally have an issue where you've noticed that your dreams and your reality, your your memory of a physically real thing happening to you get mixed, that there's a thin line between them. I don't think everybody does that. Maybe once in a while, but then you are dealing with something that crosses over, you know, that there is no clear, again, material reality in your system. There's a blur. And this is something I work with all the time with patients. It's what is real, just like you're asking right from the beginning. How do we define real and what is real? You know, dreams are such good examples of going into another realm. And of course, you've heard this a million times. Are we dreaming right now, or are we, is the real reality when we're dreaming? You know, which is real? Are we in a dream right now? But dreams have huge impact, whether you believe they have any meaning or not. I mean, you can have a dream that really disturbs you, and you can be driving down the street thinking about it and get in a car accident. So that dream actually has an impact on your physical story, your physical reality, because it's
Not just that. I mean, everybody at some point in their life perhaps has done a few substances. In other words, anything that, that changes your sense of reality as well. I mean, suddenly, if you take a certain substance, you might start seeing dragons flying around, and that's kind of real at that moment.
Right. Right. Is it made out of electrons, atoms, molecules? Does it have physical reality to it? Okay, probably not, but maybe that's an illusion as well. Like if I have the capability to look at this keyboard in front of me in an electron microscope, or go down, reduce it down as far as it goes, and I see little particles and atoms and molecules. Is that real? Or did I make that up? My senses feel it. My fingers can feel it, but is that real? What does that say about reality? It's still all up here. It's all perception, and it's not even really up here. But
let me tell you why I'm chatting about this. Because the last 2.5 years has been the effect on a lot of people, made me question a lot of things that I thought I knew.
Right.
And let's just bring it home for a moment, just back to the tangible reality, right? SARS-CoV-2. Now, my guest who's coming on after you is Andy Kaufman, and he argues that viruses aren't real. They don't exist.
Yeah,
and right. And if they do exist, they're not anything what we believe they are, as we've been told. Now, that in itself has been the foundation of changing the entire world in the last 2.5 years.
Right.
So if that thing is real, or if it isn't real, it's kind of important.
Yeah.
Or is it?
Well, you're going into the black hole again with it, which is great. I mean, it's a great topic, but again, it's very hard to put into words, because you can look at it again from the material consensus of the world. The material consensus is that certain things follow certain rules. Okay, like water boils at the same temperature, light travels at the same speed. You know, if you walk in front of a bus and it hits you, most likely your body will be destroyed. You know, all these rules of the material world. It's a cause and effect world. So what your guest is bringing up is that the science has been wrong, that this, or whatever it is that was used to determine that there are viruses, that they are little particles, little things, is wrong. All right, which happens in science, of course, we know all the time. I mean, this is like, but it's still staying within the paradigm of cause and effect materiality. All right. Because we're claiming that a virus is a little thing that's made up. It's not some supernatural thing. It's a little thing made up of molecules. Okay. So it fits in the materialist paradigm. It's a little thing. And this, the many, many people don't believe this, that they don't believe that's true. They don't believe that exists as a thing. It's not supernatural. It's not a ghost or a non-thing. All right. They believe that there's some other reason why we have the effect of a virus, that we get sick.
You know, cause and effect still matters.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm.
Now, that's kind of run of the mill. And it's fascinating because how many other things are like that?
That's the point.
Yeah. Yeah, it is the point. And I think you can stay within this realm of materiality and just stay out of the whole quantum weird stuff and just stay within that and just say, well, what is true, still within the context of material, what is true and what isn't. And I think that we are facing, or a lot of people for the first time, me included, are facing that most of the things in this material world we've been told are not true. Within the material world, that doesn't mean you have to go fly off into outer space. It doesn't give you a license to just say, well, this isn't true, and this isn't true, and this isn't true. You know, it's not to say everything isn't true, like you started out the conversation saying there are people that believe everything is not real. I don't think it should allow us to do that. And this is actually a big topic that I write about, is this cognitive dissonance, is this inability to actually come firsthand to truth. Used to be we could do that. You know, you go out in the woods and a saber-toothed tiger comes and kills you, then the tribe knows, hey, if you go out in the woods by yourself, a saber-toothed tiger will kill you. It's like empirical evidence. And we don't have, the world's too complicated to have empirical evidence for everything.
Okay, Todd, I have to do my last ad break. I'll be back with you now.
Oh boy, here we go again. President Biden claims Hurricane Ian is proof of climate change.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
And I think the one thing this has finally ended is a discussion about whether or not there's climate change and we should do something about it.
Welcome to the year 2022. We sound more like the medieval witchcraft age, when witches were accused of changing the weather and causing crop failures. Now, our SUVs are blamed for causing hurricanes. Here's the reality check. Peer-reviewed literature affirms that land-falling hurricane frequency intensity have remained steady or declined. National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, there's no strong evidence of century scale increasing trends in U.S. falling hurricanes, frequency of hurricanes, or major hurricanes. And according to NOAA, 15 Category 4 or stronger hurricanes made landfall in Florida since 1919, 10 before 1960, and only 5 since then. Joe Biden is wrong. Joe Biden is weaponizing the weather. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
The World Council for Health, WCH, a coalition of scientists, doctors, lawyers, and civil society advocacy organizations, opposes the World Health Organization, WHO's, pandemic treaty, expected to be ratified in 2024. The WCH considers the proposed WHO agreement is unnecessary and a threat to sovereignty and inalienable rights. It increases the WHO's power to declare unjustified pandemics, impose lockdowns, and enforce expensive, unsafe, and ineffective treatments against the will of the people. The WCH believes citizens have a right to participate in any agreement that affects their lives, livelihoods, and well-being. In addition, the WHO failed in approving the injurious H1N1 swine flu vaccine for a controversially declared pandemic. The WHO failed during the COVID-19 chapter as it encouraged lockdowns, suppressed early preventative treatments, and recommended product interventions that were neither safe nor effective. The WCH states the WHO cannot be allowed to control the world's health agenda, nor enforce biosurveillance while it is caught in a perpetual conflict of interest by accepting substantial funding from private interests that use their contributions to influence and profit from WHO decisions and mandates.
When you need to know what's going on around the world and at home, keep it on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, so Todd, as we come into the final lap, as you said correctly, it's a very big conversation. It's very meta, and I find it fascinating. I can talk about it for hours, but I suppose where I'm going with my question is how do you think we can navigate these, shall I say, perceptions of reality and figure out what is real?
Well, what I was going to say after listening to your ads, which are fascinating, I love them, is that it really boils down to human character. You know, trust. We cannot know the world anymore like we used to when we were dealing with saber-toothed tigers. We can know a little bit of it, obviously, but we can't know the depth of it. We can't know about climate warming. We can't know the science behind these things in you know, directly. We're not scientists. We can only trust. We can only trust what we hear, or what we read and what we learn. So human character, I think, has taken a huge blow and is losing. Certainly when you go high up, it is. I have a client, young guy, who essentially told me, and I've heard this in various ways here and there with lots of people, particularly younger people, that if they could get away with things, they would do them. Like get away with murder, get away with stealing, with anything that the moral world would say is wrong, that they would do it. If they could get away with it and not be punished for it. So there's an internal sense of being trustworthy, not being a liar, you know, that I think is being lost or is already lost. Because that's all we can go by. So as far as how do we deal with it now, I think that most of us on this side of the fence would say, do your research, use your common sense, use your critical thinking to see if what we're being told makes sense and is true, rather than trust it. And unfortunately, we can only do that to a certain degree. I mean, I'm always saying, okay, like say the vaccines, I'm not a scientist. I don't know if everything I'm hearing about the vaccines directly is true. I trust the people, but I don't put all the weight in. I don't believe it. Like I always say, I consider everything and believe nothing. But what I do know are many very, and there are certain things you do have to assume, but many of these doctors and scientists are being censored. Okay, their rights are being taken away. And you know, I do know that. That's not a question.
Take a listen to this, Todd. Fascinating email from Casper. He says, what is real is of critical importance in the future. Will virtual reality experiences be real? Is it real that I imagine that I'm a woman despite being born a man? Can I experience what a woman experiences if I were born to a different gender, or is it imagination? If I get a VR brain implant, where will reality start and end? I mean, this is the heart of transhumanism.
Yeah, absolutely. And where I feel it's crucial is this blending of material reality and thought reality. There is not a hard line between them. I mean, just like your story at the beginning about your father and your grandfather taking you to this play, there's a crossover that happens between the physical reality and the imagined reality. And it's there now still, but it's clearer that there is an imagined reality. And I think that blur is definitely, I mean, we're going to wake up one day and not even know if we're human anymore. And I think we're moving all these things, masks, distancing, all these things are designed to confuse our sense of humanity and our sense of who we are as these physical beings, but living really a spiritual life, whether you're spiritual or not. You are living a metaphysical life because you're putting meaning and story behind things. You're not just dealing with material objects. They actually have a purpose and meaning behind them, which is up here in the mind or in the spirit or in the soul. But that email, he's right on with that. that we have to be aware of what we're moving ourselves into, because it's not, in my view, it's not a good place. And it's primarily not a good place because there's a power element in it. There is an elite group of people that are going to control that. And they made it very clear they want to control it. You know, there was some thing that came out of the UN. I can't remember who it was, but there was a speech about containing the science, containing to make a harmonious, stable world of unity, because we're the ones that have the answer to everything. We're the ones that determine what is real and what isn't. And that's where you get messed up with it.
But to navigate that is becoming trickier. And I think that's,
oh my God,
that's something that needs to be spoken about more and more, because, I mean, the various globalists are openly talking about transhumanism as if it's a wonderful thing. And it's the polar opposite of natural order.
Absolutely. Very, very well put. I feel like I try to address that. You're right. Nobody is addressing. I mean, transhumanism is being talked about a bit, but this idea of moving away from being a human being, whatever that is, people don't think that's that big of a deal. They're fascinated with the concept of having an artificial heart or chips in their brain that make things easier for them. And those are just stepping stones toward something that we can't even conceive of its badness. I mean, if you go into a more religious or spiritual paradigm talking about good and evil, I mean, this is such an incredible, clear example of good versus evil, of God versus the devil, if you believe in that context. That's what Zelenko was saying before he died. You know, this is a war against God. And there are a lot of people that believe that. And if you look at it through that lens, it's a lot clearer. You know, if you believe in that sort of thing, it's a lot clearer, because the lines are very delineated. You know, what is evil?
But I mean, even if you don't believe in it, you do believe in it, because
I agree.
People replace God with good and evil.
Yeah, right.
So they cross over into that meta supernatural environment anyway.
Yes, they do. They do. Whether they claim they believe it or not. I mean, even the hardcore materialists that are going around coming up with all of these transhuman ideas are saying things like, we don't need God anymore. You know, we are now God. It's like, well, why did you even say that? It's like, if you don't believe in that, why are you comparing what you're doing to God? I think it is being made very clear. And it is definitely something that we have to start going at it from that direction, as opposed to the direction that we're going at it now, where people are not thinking of humanity lost. They're thinking of freedoms lost, or thinking of, bioautonomy or whatever, which is good. I mean, because those are very important things, but the true loss is humanity, is being human. That is the true loss. And that's the one that we won't be able to come back from. You know, it's the Terminator idea.
It almost seems inevitable.
Well, it almost does. It's almost like we have to go through it and see the consequences of it, like with a completely destroyed world, before we're going to figure it out and do anything about it. I mean, that's a very nihilistic way to look at it. And, you know, hopefully that's not true, but... it's like the Terminator idea mixed with the Matrix idea. I don't think that we're going to turn into machines, or machines will take over. I think we will be machines that will still be made up of flesh and blood. But the machinery, I mean, it's a cyborg concept. The machinery will be within us, and the human part of us will be essentially pushed out.
Todd, I was enjoying my conversation so much with you that I forgot that we are out of time. So you've got 10 seconds. Where can I find you?
The best place is my article Substack, which is Shrew Views, shrew like the little animal, views like looking, oneword.com. Right. And that's cool. Where I am.
Great stuff. Todd Hyen, thank you for joining me in the trenches. Thank you, Luke. And my name is Germ. This is Germ Warfare, the Battle of Ideas on TNT Radio.